Adventure. Alice Hindman, a woman of 27 when George Willard was a mere boy, had lived in Winesburg all her life. She clerked in Winnie's dry goods store and lived with her mother, who had married a second husband. Alice's stepfather was a carriage painter and given to drink. His story is an odd one. It'll be worth telling some day. At 27, Alice was tall and somewhat slight. Her head was large and overshadowed her body. Her shoulders were a little stooped, and her hair and eyes brown. She was very quiet, but beneath the placid exterior a continual ferment went on. When she was a girl of 16, and before she began to work in the store, Alice had an affair with a young man. The young man, named Ned Curry, was older than Alice. He, like George Willard, was employed in the Winesburg Eagle, and for a long time he went to see Alice almost every evening. Together, the two walked under the trees through the streets of the town and talked of what they would do with their lives. Alice was then a very pretty girl, and Ned Curry took her into his arms and kissed her. He became excited and said things he did not intend to say, and Alice, betrayed by her desire to have something beautiful come into her rather narrow life, also grew excited. She also talked. The outer crust of her life, all of her natural diffidence and reserve, was torn away, and she gave herself over to the emotions of love. When, late in the fall of her 16th year, Ned Curry went away to Cleveland, where he hoped to get a place on a city newspaper and rise in the world, she wanted to go with him. With a trembling voice, she told him what was in her mind. "I will work, and you can work," she said. "I do not want to harness you to a needless expense that will prevent your making progress. Don't marry me now. We will get along without that, and we can be together. Even though we live in the same house, no one will say anything. In the city, we will be unknown, and people will pay no attention to us." Ned Curry was puzzled by the determination and abandon of his sweetheart, and was also deeply touched. He had wanted the girl to become his mistress, but changed his mind. He wanted to protect and care for her. "You don't know what you're talking about," he said sharply. "You may be sure I'll let you do no such thing. As soon as I get a good job, I'll come back. For the present, you'll have to stay here. It's the only thing we can do." On the evening before he left Winesburg to take up his new life in the city, Ned Curry went to call on Alice. They walked about through the streets for an hour, and then got the rig from Wesley Moyer's livery and went for a drive in the country. The moon came up, and they found themselves unable to talk. In his sadness, the young man forgot the resolutions he had made regarding his conduct with the girl. They got out of the buggy at a place where a long meadow ran down to the bank of Wine Creek, and there, in the dim light, became lovers. When, at midnight, they returned to town, they were both glad. It did not seem to them that anything that could happen in the future could blot out the wonder and beauty of the thing that had happened. "Now we will have to stick to each other. Whatever happens, we will have to do that," Ned Curry said as he left the girl at her father's door. The young newspaper man did not succeed in getting a place on a Cleveland paper and went west to Chicago. For a time he was lonely and wrote to Alice almost every day. Then he was caught up by the life of the city. He began to make friends and found new interests in life. In Chicago he boarded at a house where there were several women. One of them attracted his attention, and he forgot Alice in Winesburg. At the end of a year he had stopped writing letters, and only once in a long time, when he was lonely or when he went into one of the city parks and saw the moon shining on the grass as it had shone that night on the meadow by Wine Creek, did he think of her at all. In Winesburg, the girl who had been loved grew to be a woman. When she was 22 years old, her father, who owned a harness repair shop, died suddenly. The harness maker was an old soldier, and after a few months his wife received a widow's pension. She used the first money she got to buy a loom and became a weaver of carpets, and Alice got a place in Winnie's store. For a number of years, nothing could have induced her to believe that Ned Currie would not in the end return to her. She was glad to be employed, because the daily round of toil in the store made the time of waiting seem less long and uninteresting. She began to save money, thinking that when she had saved $200 or $300, she would follow her lover to the city and try if her presence would not win back his affections. Alice did not blame Ned Currie for what had happened in the moonlight in the field, but felt that she could never marry another man. To her, the thought of giving to another what she still felt could belong only to Ned seemed monstrous. When other young men tried to attract her attention, she would have nothing to do with them. "I am his wife, and shall remain his wife, whether he comes back or not," she whispered to herself, and for all of her willingness to support herself, could not have understood the growing modern idea of a woman's owning herself and giving and taking for her own ends in life. Alice worked in the dry goods store from 8 in the morning until 6 at night, and on 3 evenings a week went back to the store to stay from 7 until 9. As time passed and she became more and more lonely, she began to practice the devices common to lonely people. When at night she went upstairs into her own room, she knelt on the floor to pray, and in her prayers whispered things she wanted to say to her lover. She became attached to inanimate objects, and because it was her own, could not bear to have anyone touch the furniture of her room. The trick of saving money, begun for a purpose, was carried on after the scheme of going to the city to find Ned Currie had been given up. It became a fixed habit, and when she needed new clothes, she did not get them. Sometimes, on rainy afternoons, in the store, she got out her bankbook, and letting it lie open before her, spent hours dreaming impossible dreams of saving money enough so that the interest would support both herself and her future husband. "Ned always liked to travel about," she thought. "I'll give him the chance. Some day, when we are married, and I can save both his money and my own, we will be rich. Then we can travel together all over the world." In the dry goods store, weeks ran into months, and months into years, as Alice waited and dreamed of her lover's return. Her employer, a grey old man with false teeth and a thin grey moustache that drooped down over his mouth, was not given to conversation, and sometimes, on rainy days and in the winter, when a storm raged in Main Street, long hours passed when no customers came in. Alice arranged and rearranged the stock. She stood near the front window, where she could look down the deserted street, and thought of the evenings when she had walked with Ned Currie, and of what he had said. "We will have to stick to each other now," the words echoed and re-echoed through the mind of the maturing woman. Tears came into her eyes. Sometimes, when her employer had gone out and she was alone in the store, she put her head on the counter and wept. "Oh, Ned, I am waiting," she whispered over and over, and all the time the creeping fear that he would never come back grew stronger within her.